I greet you again this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus with the words that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I too bid all of you a very hearty welcome. It is good to be in the Lord's house, but it is also good to gather at the Lord's house and to hear his word. So whether you are out in your vehicle or listening from your home or whether you are here in the sanctuary, may the Lord use this time to build up our faith and that our lives would be such as would be pleasing to him. I have entitled my message this morning, Waiting Patiently for the Lord's Return. My text this morning comes from James chapter 5. I want to read James chapter 5, verses 7 to 12. James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Thus far, may the Lord give the increase for his word. Shall we unite in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning. We thank you that we can come to a God that is alive, a God that is all-seeing, all-knowing, that is all-powerful. Heavenly Father, we realize that you are a God that works even in our lives today, and we thank you for that. We pray, Lord, that as we have read a portion of your scripture, that you would speak to us through this scripture and through others that we find in your word. Lord, may you open our hearts to receive your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will bind the hands of Satan, that he would not be able to distract us during this time, but our thoughts would be on you, and that through your word, our faith would be increased. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. James is talking about the Lord's coming and that we are patiently supposed to wait for it. I want to use as an introduction a few other scriptures. We find in Acts chapter 1 the writing of Jesus' final words and that of his ascension. I'd like to read a few verses from Acts chapter 1. And just to give us a little bit of a thought of what James was talking about. James, or Acts chapter 1, I'll start reading from verse 6. It says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Here in this verse 11, we find the promise that the angels gave to the disciples. "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." This is a promise that we never want to forget. For Jesus' promises in Scripture, they are sure. Jesus will return to us again. But let us also remember that Jesus gave instruction as to how to live our lives in light of this return. He said, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." There are probably many good reasons why we are not to know the exact time of Christ's return. And you can imagine what it would have done to the disciples or the early Christians if Jesus would have said that his return is over 2,000 years away. Don't you think they would have lost their hope? Or don't you think they may have delayed their witnessing to the world? They may have lost their earnestness to go out or their dedication. It was obvious that the Heavenly Father would rather have us to focus on the things that he commanded us to than to focus on the exact time that he would come. He said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." Witnesses that go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Witnesses that are sent to the ends of the earth. We are to testify to the world all about Jesus, all that he did, all that he finished on the cross for us, his plan of salvation. We are to testify to the earth or to the people of the world that he is coming again. As I've been thinking about the Lord's coming, I thought of Luke chapter 19, and I want to read a parable that Jesus spoke and just before he went to Jerusalem to his crucifixion. Luke chapter 19. And we read again in verse 11 of how the disciples thought that his kingdom was going to be built. Luke 11, verse 19 says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God would immediately appear. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I have feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidst not down, thou reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath the 10 pounds. Again we read that the disciples expected the Lord to set up his kingdom immediately. But the Lord revealed through this parable that he would go to heaven and return at an appointed time. He gave to his servants gifts, or he gave talents, or he gave money, something for them to work with, and he gave them this instruction, Occupy until I come. He did not say, Occupy until you're 65. He did not say, Occupy until you've done your share. He did not say, Occupy until you find someone else to take your place. He said, Occupy until I come. Occupy with this in mind, that Jesus is coming again. And when he comes again, he will reward your faithfulness. We find in this parable the words spoken to those that were faithful. Well, thou good servant, or well done, thou good servant. But we also find in this parable the words of those that have done nothing. The Lord pronounced, Thou wicked servant. You know, the day of the Lord is coming. We sang about that. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. What a day that's going to be. We don't know exactly how he will come for us. He may come for us like he came for my brother-in-law last night. We may see the day where he will come in the rapture. We don't know exactly how the Lord will come for us, but we know one thing for sure. The Lord will come. It will be a moment for which true believers have longed for thousands of years. The despised and the rejected Jesus, he will then be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I believe every generation of believers have thought that his return or the return of Jesus may be in their lifetime. And in a sense, it is in every one of our lifetime. And so, brothers and sisters, I hope we too are eagerly waiting for that glorious day. In Hebrews 9, verse 28, it says that Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. When it speaks about them that look for him, I believe it is talking about those who trust in the Lord for their salvation. Those who believe that Jesus will come again because he said he would. those that prepare themselves to meet Jesus face to face. You know, the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 3, verse 3, he writes that there shall come in the last days scoffers, or those who don't believe in God's word, those who mock at what the word of God says. And they will walk after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And it says this, they willingly are ignorant of. Or in reality, they do not want to know the truth. But then in verse 8, Peter speaks to the believers and he says, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. God is not limited to the time frame that we are in. God is eternal. But Peter assures us in verse 9 that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men would say, or some men would call it, but that he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus is patiently waiting for us to come. And so God has not returned to this earth yet for a reason. He has left us in our trials for a reason. We may not understand it all, but we want to trust that God knows what is best and what is the best time for him to come. In verse 10, Peter writes, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. This promise, dear friends, is sure. Jesus will come. Oh, that we would remain steadfast in our faith, that we would occupy, that we would be his witnesses until he comes. Now, I want to point out to you that in our text in James chapter 5, in those few verses that I read, the word patience is used 5 times. James speaks in these verses about waiting. He talks about grumbling or complaining. He talks about suffering affliction. And then he talks about endurance. Doesn't this sound a lot like the time that we are living in? You know, friends, we sometimes feel that we are going through hard times in life. And in a sense, we are. And I know that there are people that have gone through very trying times, even from this congregation. But I want to encourage all of us today, as believers in Christ, with the words of James, be patient. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness, or endure hardship, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The scriptures speak again and again about the trials and hardships that Christians in the past have gone through. But when we trust in the Almighty God, he is able to take us through everything. You see, in the first 6 verses of this chapter, James speaks to the rich. He speaks to those who live in pleasure, to those who have heaped treasures together for themselves so that they can live comfortably, that they can live at ease in their last days. And I hope none of us that are here are counted among those that James talks about in the first 6 verses. James warns them that someday they will regret. They will wail and they will weep because of the reward that they will doubtlessly receive for their selfish and ungodly life that they have lived. But then in verse 7, he says, be patient therefore, brethren. And this is where he talks to Christians And I hope each one of us that are here today are in this group of people. Now he is talking to those who have chosen to live for the Lord. And he says, be patient unto the coming of the Lord. You know, the coming of the Lord, that is our aim, that is our goal. That is our focus. In Revelation 2, where the Lord spake to the church of Smyrna, he told them not to fear any of the trials or the sufferings that they would face. Yes, he said, some of you will be put in prison. Some of you will go through great testing. But he says, be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. James uses three illustrations of patience in our text. The first one is that of the husbandman. Or we could say the farmer, how he has to wait patiently for his harvest or the fruit of his crop. He says that he waits patiently for the early and the latter rain. I believe as a farmer or a gardener, we can all identify that there are many things that can hinder the crop at the end. It can be the rain, it can be the winds. There is many, many variables in farming. But a good farmer waits patiently for his crop. It is at the end that he will receive his reward for growing a crop. And that is the way it is in our spiritual life as well. Brothers and sisters, don't give up. When the Lord sees that the time is right, when he sees that we have suffered enough, he will take us to be with him in glory. The Bible promises that to those who trust in the Lord. Let me read a few verses out of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 to 39. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have heard of the patience. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The writer of Hebrews says, we have need of patience. Yet a little while, and he that shall come, he's not going to wait any longer. He will come. But he says, we must live by faith. James says the same thing in our text in verse 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You know, friends, as we wait for the Lord to come, we are not just supposed to sit idle. James says we are to establish our hearts. Jesus said, Occupy till I come. How do we establish our hearts? Whenever I think of being established, I think of a tree. When you first plant a tree, It is so easily uprooted, especially when it's a little bigger tree. You tie it so that the wind can't take it down. But you allow a tree to grow for 10 years, and it's pretty hard to uproot it. It is established. It will stand firm. In Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7, Paul writes, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith." We are to be rooted and built up in Jesus. Our roots should be in God's word. We must hold fast to the promises that Jesus has left us. This was Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians. He writes in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Paul writes to the Thessalonians, be established, be rooted. How long until Jesus is coming again? Our hearts are to be established in holiness, he says. In Hebrews 13, verse 9, it says, "Be not carried about with divers or strange doctrines, for it is a good thing to be established with grace." You know, it is as we read God's word, as we study in the scriptures, that we become stable in the word of God and in our faith. There are many false teachers in the world today, many strange doctrines, but may we establish our hearts in the truth of God's word. James says, "For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." James says in verse 9, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." You know, friends, in times of trouble or trials or hardships, it is easy to complain about others, what they are doing wrong. To grudge means to grumble or to complain. Have we done that this last week? You know, as restrictions become tight and you're not supposed to do this or do that, it takes something not to grumble. But James says, we are not to grudge one against another. He says it isn't right when we blame others. He says we should not do that because we may be wrong in our complaints, and then he says we would be condemned. He says the judge is standing at the door. What he is saying is God will be the judge of everyone's actions. And we must leave that up to him. Then in verse 10, James says, we are to think of the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering and to think of their patience. This is the second example of our patience. We know that the scripture is full of those who have lived before us and how they have witnessed faithfully and what it cost them. Think for a moment of Jeremiah. The Lord told Jeremiah that before he came forth from the womb, he had ordained him to be a prophet. Jeremiah must go and speak the word. And even though he was reluctant to go, he went and prophesied what the Lord told him. The Lord told Jeremiah ahead of time, "I want you to speak my word," he said, "but the people aren't going to listen to you. They will not hearken unto thee," Jeremiah 7:27. "Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God." Jeremiah had a duty. He was to occupy. It looked totally hopeless. God told Jeremiah to be patient. Friends, we too have a duty to speak, to witness the word of God. It is our duty. Many didn't believe Jeremiah's prophecy, and they persecuted him. In Jeremiah 20, verse 2, we read that they put him into the stocks. He was thrown into prison. In Jeremiah 38, verse 6, we read of how they put him in prison and they let him down into a dungeon that was full of mud or mire. But Jeremiah continued to speak for the Lord. In Hebrews 11, it speaks to us of many, many others. Of Moses, of Gideon, of Samuel. And it says they suffered cruel mockings and scourgings. They suffered imprisonments. It says they were stoned, they were tempted, they were destitute, afflicted, and tormented. These, James says, these are our examples. Were examples to us of suffering and patience. Their afflictions were many, yet they were patient under them. And through faith and patience, they now inherit the promises of God. Then in verse 11 of our text, James calls us to look at the life of Job. This is the third example of patience. His trials came one upon another, the loss of all his substance, the death of his children, and then the health of his own body. And yet the scripture says, in all of this, Job sinned not, nor changed or charged God foolishly. We don't know exactly how long Job endured the chastening of the Lord. I'm sure for Job it felt like a long time. But James encourages us to look at how the Lord was very pitiful to James, or to Job. He was compassionate to him and of tender mercy. You know, one of the greatest teachings in this portion of Scripture is, how much do we trust the Lord? We are easy to ask the question, why do I have to go through this and others don't have to? But the Lord uses us as individuals, and let's remember, it's for his glory. Why did the Lord choose to use Job as a man of great suffering and affliction? We are not told why, but we are told that our Lord is very compassionate and that he is of tender mercy. We are told in Scripture that he is all wise and that we should trust him fully. I want all of us to notice this morning, at the end of the book of Job, we find this verse, Job 42, verse 12. "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning." James says we are to look at one thing. He says, behold, we count them happy, or we count them blessed, which endure. James 1 verse 12 said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. In verse 12, we read, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. I believe this verse speaks a lot about our honesty. It is the author's desire to show the importance of this when he says, above all things, my brethren, swear not. Now, the word swear can refer to different meanings. It may mean that of cursing or using the Lord's name in vain. Now, this is often done through the ungodly people who abuse God's name. And when they suffer affliction or when they have to wait for others, there is that of swearing and cursing. In Exodus 20, verse 7, it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. There is also that of using the Lord's name or some other name to attest to the truthfulness of one's speech. Phrases like, God is my judge, or as sure as the earth stands. Then there is that of taking oaths. Oaths taken in the name of the Lord are looked upon as binding. The Jews of Jesus' time had developed a system of taking oaths that often ended in untruths or lying, and thus degrading the Lord greatly. It is like in our courts today, I have been in court and they put the Bible in front of me and they ask me, do you swear by the Bible that you will speak the truth? And people will do that and still not speak the truth. And in reality, it is really degrading who the Lord is. James is here teaching that is teaching that same teaching, what the Lord himself taught in Matthew 5, verse 34, where Jesus said, but I say unto you, swear not at all. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these comes of evil. And James says, lest you fall into condemnation. So I want to encourage all of us this morning. Whatever the Lord has brought your way, be patient. In all of our trials that we go through, be patient. And your loneliness when people can't come and visit you, be patient. Be patient until the Lord comes. Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and he find them so, blessed are those servants. Shall we close in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for the teaching of your word. We thank you also, Heavenly Father, for the spirit that you have sent down to man that dwells in us, that nudges us, that teaches us. Lord, we thank you and that you are a God that is alive in our midst even today. We pray, Heavenly Father, that in the days to come, whether we go through trials or hard times, that your Spirit will bring back to our memory the words that you have left us, how we are to endure hardness, how we are to wait patiently for the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us again this morning. And as we are going through this time of our life, Lord, may we look to you. May we remember the promises that you have left us. Lord, we pray for each one that is going through trials because of sickness. We know there is quite a few in our congregations that are in the hospital. Lord, may you uphold them. May you bring to their memory those verses that we find in Scripture where we are to endure hardness, to look to Jesus for all of our comfort, for you are the God of all comfort. So, Lord, we pray for them that you would uphold them, that their faith would remain strong unto the end. Lord, teach us, as we see these things happening in the world, may we be reminded of the nearness of your coming, and may we prepare our hearts to meet you face to face. May your word continually bless us and mold us and make us into your image. We ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you for leading us in those songs, and yes, how we need the Lord every hour. I want to thank all of you who have come this morning to the service, and may the word that has been spoken be of some comfort and encouragement to you in your walk of faith. That is our prayer. Let us just bow for the closing benediction. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Amen. You may depart, and may the peace of the Lord go with you.